Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Let's go! One, two, three! One, two, three!
You're listening to the best of the Dolphins.
Love y'all, boys, man. Keep hands on to the 1-2.
A weekly mix of AM 560 Sports, WQAM's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
You know, I think there is a culture shift, and I know it. I mean, I feel it just as much as everyone that's been here since I've gotten into the league. We always hear about, man, yeah, oh, culture shift. You guys have a change of this. You guys are doing this. Always optimistic. But I really do feel in my heart that this is a change of scenery for our guys in the locker room. And then it also transitions to our coaches as well, because we get opportunities to lead, and it's not as much the coaches as it is the players, I would say, this year.
Dolphins quarterback Tua Tagovailoa there. It's time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location, Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan, toyotaofhollywood.com.
All right, Woody, thank you. Omar Kelly from the Miami Herald, Dolphins columnist, out at the first day of mandatory mini camp. We had a fired up Mike McDaniel. You heard Tua talking about the new culture. Let's start with the new culture. We'll start there first. You feel a different culture out there? The players obviously leading the charge, as we know that's the way it's set up by Mike McDaniel.
Weren't the players leading the charge last year?
Yes.
I do remember a very animated Jalen Ramsey speech about how they were not going to be pushed around and they were going to be the bullies of the AFC. That included the owner, the GM, the coach. I do believe that it was a player-led team last year. Calais Campbell, Teron Armstead. So I don't understand. And that's something I have to dig more into, because Tua wasn't the only person that said this is a culture change that involved the coaches. So I'm curious what they mean by that. But you know what, Joe?
Yeah.
I've been covering the Dolphins for 17 years. Guess how many times I've heard the word culture shift.
Oh no, I'm guessing you've heard it a lot, because that's kind of an off season thing, right? Setting up the new culture for the season. And
yeah. Mm-hmm. But I will say, last year was probably the first year I ever really learned, and I've always heard it, but the first year I ever really learned, you can return pretty much the same team, but that doesn't necessarily mean you'll return the same team. Just because sometimes the removal of one player, or the addition of one player, or one player changing his situation, or one player having his finances changing, it just creates some sort of alterism of what you had the year before. But I think everybody who is a Dolphin fan will realize, even though they were similar teams, kind of, 2023 and 2024 were not even close to the
right.
Same team.
Yep.
Like they didn't enjoy each other's company. They didn't have fun. They didn't celebrate. And maybe it's because of the adversity that they faced playing without Tua and certain guys getting hurt. But really, they didn't enjoy going to work last year. And I don't understand what happened, but you know, you find out who you are through adversity. And Mike McDaniel has always said that.
I got to ask you this question about culture. and talking about we feel like it's better. How much of that, and I'm just reading between the lines, I don't know if this is true, Jalen Ramsey and Tyreek Hill, how much of that was kind of killing what they were trying to do last year?
I wouldn't put it on them. I personally wouldn't, because one, Tyreek is still there. Tyreek has admitted he's trying to be a better leader and a better example for his teammates.
But I'm still talking about last year. Yeah, he's trying to be better because he wasn't good enough last year at all those things.
I have no idea, Joe.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking.
Yeah, I can.
And Jalen Ramsey, something happened because they want to get rid. I mean, Mike was fired up without saying, Jalen Ramsey, get him the F out of here.
Yeah. You know, I think we got the Mike that players see all the time. Like, because we know, especially if you've watched Hard Knocks, you know Mike curses all the time. Like, every seven words is a curse word with Mike when he's in front of the players. When he's in front of the media, he's a different guy. Yesterday, he just chose to curse. And you know, I understood the points that he was making, and I understood his tone because, you know, he was entering that press conference. It was pretty much the end-of-the-year press conference. He's not going to have to hear these questions for a good month. And he had, you know, he had some real tough things to say, some real harsh things to say, because he was dealing with a lot of the business stuff that he really doesn't like. But that's just the reality of his job. And he kind of said it in his comments.
I agree.
He's like, this is part of my job. Like, I deal with bull crap every single day, and my job is to overcome the bull crap.
Well,
and it's true.
He needs to, like, throw all that stuff. I'm glad to hear him saying, hey, I'm not in contracts. That's Chris Greer getting stuff done. I want to ask you about Jonnu Smith and Zach Sealer. Mm-hmm. They're going to get something worked out. They're both – I expect them both to be back.
Are you sure?
Do you? I'm asking you. Do you? They will.
Zach is there. According to Mike, Zach has been there every day. He just hasn't taken it to the field, and he's not working right now. Now, the question is this injury related, or is this give me my money? Considering I have common sense, and I know that Zach Sealer is going to make $16 million over the next 2 years when he really should be making $16 million per year, I'm pretty sure it's about the money. Now, Jonnu chose to skip, and Jonnu, if you're listening, or Jonnu's family, if you're listening, Jonnu, show up today, my brother. Don't cost yourself $33,000. Show up, put on a uniform, don't do anything, and avoid the fine. Come talk to the media. Tell us how you're drastically underpaid. We'll write about it, and you'll save yourself $33,000. Go take a nice family vacation. I always hate when players do this.
By the way, you know, it's funny. I said, make sure you're back tomorrow. Keep half your money because it's $50,000 plus tomorrow.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure they're not even working tomorrow. But $54,000 tomorrow, $33,000 today. Like, Jonnu, don't do this. We know what this is about, bro. Like, save yourself the money. Go take the family to Africa or somewhere. Like, don't subject yourself to a fine to make a point. We already know what a point you're making. You're drastically underpaid. I don't think there's any media member who doesn't disagree with you. A tight end that nobody's ever heard of just got $27 million.
No, I agree. By the way, I you don't have to sell me on either guy. And by the way, they paid after paying all those guys last year. They're going, hey, you already set the rules and how we're doing things around here.
Listen, this teams will tell you this. The time to do business is in the offseason. Are we not in the offseason now, Joe?
Yeah.
Okay, so they chose to skip voluntary work. They both attended and then chose to skip when they did on the field voluntary work. And even Tua said, hey, I go and throw to Jonnu. Like, I go find work with Jonnu. Like, this is not necessary.
Yeah.
Like, Jonnu, show up to work, don't work, because people don't realize this. The new CBA, they fine you tremendously if you skip the work. But you can show up and not work and not be fined, and the team can't do anything to you.
That's what I asked you a couple of days, and you thought they'd all be there because they didn't want to lose that money. They didn't have to do anything. I thought I replied to you, good point, but Jonnu decided he wanted to make a strong point. Hey, let me ask you. We got some guys been around for a while now. And some, I'm going to go through this list of guys you think has the best chance to have the biggest impact on this team this year? I'm going to run through. If you got two names, go ahead. I'm going to start with Tanner Connor, fourth year, you know, yeah. and he always has that great practice. And, Aaron, you know, we put a special jersey on him. And Julian Hill, another tight end, got a lot better. But, you know, some of our fans are down about the holds and a few drops.
Strongest man on the team. Strongest pound-for-pound man on the team.
Eric Ezukama. Cam Smith, Channing Tindall, Ethan Bonner, and Storm Duck. I know we're going to need some of these guys. We will need some of them. Who makes the biggest jump and has the biggest impact on this team, one or two guys?
I go with Storm Duck. I'm pretty sure, not to say that he's ready to start, but I'm pretty sure he's probably in the driver's seat to start. He played the most snaps last year. So that shows he's clearly ahead of Cam Smith and Ethan Bonner. Isaiah Johnson, who continues to have solid practices, but I'd love to see him elevated up and playing against better players. Tanner Connor, and I just wrote a column in the Miami Herald. You know, it's time for these disappointing draft picks and these consistent teases to actually show you that they could do something. Tanner Connor, 4 years, man. There's a 4-year investment in you. Like, you know, and coaches will tell you know the playbook inside and out. You're probably one of the most intelligent guys when it comes to knowing the playbook. You're clearly talented. When we do OTAs, you always flash. You always shine. You're the orange jersey player yesterday. You clearly have ability. It's time that it translates to the football field. Same thing with Ethan Bonner. Players love Ethan Bonner. Like, Waddle loves Ethan Bonner. Tyreek loves Ethan Bonner. Everybody's a huge fan of Ethan Bonner. Why hasn't he played in 2 years?
Well, that, I said that this morning. Like, he has been preseason. Guys rave about him at practice every day. And then a couple guys go down and you're going, hey, Ethan Bonner's still not playing. Well, why? He's on the 53. Why is he not playing very much? Yeah.
And then the most prominent guy is probably Julian Hill, because Julian plays just as much as Jonnu Smith. And Julian, even though he had his issues early in the season with penalties and mistakes and stupid plays, he cleaned up that play later on in the year. And the one thing I know about John Embry, who is the assistant head coach, is he loves his projects. And he's not giving up on Julian Hill. And Julian Hill is his guy.
I think he can coach him hard, too. John Embry's able to coach him hard, and I think he likes that because he does see – he sees a lot of talent. And you know what? Probably the number one guy I fight about with fans, they're going, why are we playing him? I go, he's gotten a lot better. And I go, what do you mean he's a lot better? He held the frigging guy twice.
They're playing him because they see a lot of talent and progress.
Yeah.
The one thing John Embry said when I talked to him earlier this year was that Julian, when he was making a lot of mistakes, he was cleaning up. He was trying to clean up things for other players.
Right.
Now, what that means, I have no idea. Maybe you could clue me in on that.
The other thing I was just going to say is, so I brought up all those guys because they wouldn't be on this roster unless they didn't think, hey, man, we have seen signs, big signs of upside that they can play in this league. We got to give them another chance. And you start going third year, fourth year.
I've seen it too.
Are you any shot on Cam Smith? Because that name pops up all the time. Any shot that the light finally goes on and he looks – like the guy that got drafted second round out of South Carolina? Any chance?
He played his best when he was a rookie, and then the coaches didn't like him. And I haven't even seen the rookie play that he had. So I am not on the Cam Smith is going to turn the corner train. The one thing that I did, I talked to him yesterday, and I included him in my column that I wrote for the Miami Herald. And the one thing I did not like was him saying, and he was asked this question, I think, by Hal, who, you know, I know Hal asked phenomenal questions. And the question was, is there anything that you would do differently than what you've done the previous 2 years? And his answer was no.
Oh, my God.
And I thought to myself, like,
clueless. That's a clueless dude. That's a guy that doesn't get it, man. That's truly... Because what people say about him in the organization, not Chris Greer, but everybody else.
Yeah.
Jeez, and come on, man.
And in my mind, I'm thinking.
Stay awake.
But in my mind, it's about professionalism with him.
Yeah.
And in his mind, I just need to stay healthy. And wow. I could tell you, your play has dipped from your rookie year when I thought you were pretty decent and should have been playing, and Vic Fangio thought you were a dip, you know what?
Yeah.
It's funny. I said this yesterday.
Yeah.
I said this yesterday in the media room. It's funny how everything Vic Fangio said about this team was right, and we all poo-pooed it, or we all thought it was, oh, just a grumpy old man. No, he said everything he said was right about this team.
Yeah.
And we're just finding out how wrong we were, you know, 2 years later.
Hey, so I got to get on you a little bit, man. I went to the podcast.
What did I do now?
No, so you and your sidekick were doing some podcast stuff.
Okay.
And I got so this Mike, this my feelings, and I know Mike agrees and Tua agrees. Like, they got to try things out in OTAs and mini camp. And a lot of them aren't going to work, and they're going to be negative plays. But you guys ride them, and next thing you got our fan base all fired up. Like, there he goes. He's throwing a pick. He dropped the ball. He wasn't in the right coverage. And you guys get in, and this guy, the backup quarterback, played a little better than Tua. And I'm like, oh, my God, calm down.
Nobody's played better than Tua. The thing that you've seen with Zach Wilson is he's uneven. He's hot one day, cold one day. And that seems to, you know, when you have a series of practices that you could put together, you can formulate some sort of consensus on what a player can do, what's his ability, and how consistent he is. Tua's consistent every day.
Yeah, but Tua's been in this. So to my point, Zach Wilson just got here. Like, did you act like he's been around like 4 years to know the system? Right.
Okay. You hold on.
And Tua's been around. He knows every guy. He knows. He's getting to know Waddle. Well, he knows Waddle pretty well. He's known him since college.
So. Yeah. Exactly. I make that point to my peers as well. The one thing is Zach Wilson also played in this offense with the Jets, so it's literally the same language. So it shouldn't be that drastic a transition. Now, some of the personnel and the players, and also he's not really like Quinn Ewers is the guy who's probably struggling the most, but he's also working with the least. And he also doesn't know anything.
Well, that's the other point. That's the other point. That's a good point. You know, not everybody plays with the same guys. And sometimes I've been out there, man, in preseason games with the number threes, and I'm thinking, I'm looking around, and my quarterback's looking, going, oh, boy. I remember Don Strock. We're at the end of a Atlanta Falcons game, and he's looking, and now he's got to play the whole second half, and everybody's been taken out of the game because it's late in the preseason, and Shoes wants to rest all the guys. So, hey, man, this is going to be hard to get first downs in this group.
Yeah, no, Tua even said it. You know, a lot of this is about working on chemistry with developing chemistry. He threw a beautiful pass, which the Dolphins social media team put up to Malik Washington, who I still think is the number three receiver. And it was for a touchdown.
No, go ahead.
Hold on. How is he not?
They got a new guy. They just brought in for pretty good money. It's going to be the third guy.
And he finally showed up. He finally showed up for practice yesterday, and looked pretty good. Red zone day, so maybe he has.
There's another guy learning a new system.
Oh, okay. We want to make these.
You want them to all be good like day one. Like, man, they're going to take time for these guys. Man, it's like guys get here and they're like, God, he's really slow. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's going to get fat. He's going to get a hell of a lot faster when he knows what the hell he's doing and it starts to kick in.
Okay, that's fine. But it also comes down to chemistry and trust. And Tua's a big quarterback. When he doesn't know you, he doesn't trust you, he doesn't throw you.
That's true, by the way. That is true.
Yeah. So, you know, you better get on that Tua program. And for those who – Tua's practicing very consistently.
I liked everything he had to say yesterday. I loved everything he had to say, by the way. I don't know if I've said that, but
– Yeah.
He's aware, the awareness. But, look, at the end of the day – you can say all these things. You got to stay healthy for 17 games, and sometimes you just can't control it, man. It's tackle football.
Yeah. I mean, the whole goal of the game is to hurt the quarterback, isn't it?
Yes.
Like, put the quarterback out the game. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't help that you have the most fragile quarterback in the NFL, but, you know, but he knows his what
he
his
reputation is. And by the way, just I like all the things he's saying, and he also understands, man, you can't be a leader when you miss six games. We can throw that leadership stuff out when you ain't playing. So, Hey, yeah. Omar, thanks, man. I know what you and I could go on and on about all this stuff, but I appreciate the update on everything. Thank you.
All right. We will definitely be there today for day two of OTAs and recapping everything that happens and what's said on the Miami Herald. So hopefully everybody tunes in.
Well, they do, man. They want to hear what you're saying. Omar Kelly with us, Miami Herald Dolphins columnist, as getting set for another mini camp. But it's not a game. It's not a preseason game. Just getting to know the system, man. Just getting to know the system a little bit.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Day one of Dolphins minicamp was today, and there are a lot of notes. Tua Tagovailoa met with reporters. Here's the money quote. Here's the thing everybody's talking about. Tua, adamant. He says he can, quote, feel it in his heart that there is a culture shift within the Miami Dolphins locker room.
That's just talk.
I'm high on the Dolphins because I like Tua. That it's really why I'm high on the Dolphins. The vibe I got today from Mike McDaniel, I feel like he's lost the locker room because he was snipping at reporters today. He was very snippy and curt. And I feel like he feels like he's kind of in a weird spot. Jalen Ramsey's not there. Jonnu Smith isn't there. Like but I believe in Tua. I will tell you that Barry Jackson tweeted out Zach Wilson, continuing an uneven offseason, had two passes picked, including one return for a TD, and nearly threw a third INT and a second pick six.
Mike McDaniel wants to change the culture with him. You're there for 3 or 4 years, and now you're going to become the tough guy.
Yep.
It doesn't work. It doesn't work that way. You set a standard. Yep. You can't now. You can't be Cam Cameron and then become Nick Saban.
Exactly.
I went the other way. I saw Nick Saban, then I saw Cam Cameron. You can't try to
change. You just got to lean into who you are, hope it works.
And that's why Tua's seeing a difference. He's not seeing a culture change.
Listen, man, you could hire Pat Riley. You could hire the biggest culture changer, culture setter, Udonis Haslam. The Dolphins can do whatever they want in terms of culture. When Kader Kohou is your best DB, if Jalen Ramsey ends up getting traded, which we all think is inevitable, it doesn't matter what your culture is. Your team has some holes, some major holes. I think that's why McDaniel's snippy, Hawk, because he knows that.
Yeah, I know, but he's going to be reliant on Tua and Tua staying healthy. Mm-hmm. I told you the passer rating stat yesterday. Like, if Tua remains healthy, McDaniel's going to be fine. If he's not, like, again, even with the secondary, Tua can put the points up to keep it even, but he's got to keep him healthy. How about Jonah Gadjevich for short yardage situations? Better than the tush push.
If Tua stays healthy, they'll win 10-plus games, and their offense will be very efficient, and Tua will have 5,000 yards passing because that's what he does. He's great at what he does. This roster is not set up with anybody that would have been involved in those hockey fights last night. They've acquired a very passive roster. They don't have no dogs out there. They don't have no ass kickers.
Who's a pit bull out there?
There we go. Call it a pit bull. Who's our pit bulls?
Who's the pit bull?
Alec Ingold.
I'm kind of lobbying for Jonah Gadjevich in short yardage situations. May take
who's the pit
may take
bull?
Ingold out of the mix.
Who's the guy, if something breaks out, on the ice or will go on the field, there's no chance he's not running out there and getting in it.
Quinn Ewers.
I'm just telling you. I have my Keith Trailers. I have my Joey Porters. I was one of them as well. I don't know if they have that guy that really wants to go slap the hell out of somebody.
I got
to
refamiliarize myself with the roster because sometimes I'm not thinking of people during the offseason.
Eichenberg.
Would be. We're the Eichen Bros.
Jason Sanders?
Our Tua with Tobin and Leroy.
Check the history of food.
Our Tua of the program, ladies and gentlemen. Tobin and Leroy here with you, 560 WQAM. Get the headlines. Brought to you by Doral Volkswagen. Doral Volkswagen, choose over 300 new Volkswagen models in stock with the Tiguan, Taos, and Atlas. And remember, when it comes to Volkswagen, the great deals are at Doral Volkswagen. Panthers beat the Oilers yesterday, 6-1. Really got to stop putting DJ Khaled out to pump up games.
Another one.
They just got to stop doing it. I love the, listen, love DJ Khaled. That's not his thing. I don't need him there pumping up hockey games. He seemed very uncomfortable. We all seem very uncomfortable. Now, that being said, Bam Adebayo, rock that drum. Great job by him. And UD went with him for his birthday.
And support.
It's pretty goosies right there, dude. Pretty goosies right there from Bam Adebayo and Udonis Haslam. Getting it done for a Game 3 beatdown. Well done by them. Series will resume on Thursday at 8 o'clock at Amerant Bank Arena. Miami Dolphins, they start mini camp today. Mike McDaniel has met with the media. He said that Zach Seeler will participate in the mini camp. No Jonnu Smith, no surprise on no Jalen Ramsey, but that's where we're at with everybody. Some other guys not reporting in minicamp. You got Trey Hendrickson in Cincinnati, TJ Watt in Pittsburgh not participating in minicamp.
It's unfortunate that these are guys that, if not for their production on those teams, would be a lot worse. And then they start getting players to turn around on the other side of the ball and don't want to pay the guys that kept you in it when you didn't have an offense or your offense was struggling, right? So they're going to have the guy who led the – didn't he lead the league in sacks last year? Trey
– Yeah, Trey Andrews has led the league in sacks. He's had right. 17 and a half the last 2 years.
Right. And that's the guy you're choosing to – quibble over. And that's what bothers me in sports, that it's happening again with the Dolphins, that the guys you need to pay, you can't pay because you paid the guys in previous years that now you have questions about.
Right.
So is that in itself an issue for this franchise? It's not necessarily the players you have, but the players that you're choosing to pay aren't the guys who are making the biggest impact.
No, it's definitely something they got to consider for sure. We'll say, I was seeing these photos yesterday. They had, I guess, their media day yesterday where they take all the videos and stuff for the season. Cheetah looking slim, man. Slim, dude. I'm just telling
he's
you.
He's only, what, a buck 85?
Nah, I don't think he's been 10. That. I think he's been in the 190s, he said. Now he's down in the low 180s. He looks slim.
Yeah, well, that's probably because football is an escape. To all the other stuff he got going on.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I just was like, right, he looks very svelte.
Well, we'll see. I do think the success of Tua, the success of Cheetah, the success of Waddle, and whoever the hell they have at tight end, all of their success is going to be determined by how committed Mike McDaniel is to the run. And I mean productive runs, not just to toss it outside and let the fast guys run. But I think they need to start running the ball in between the tackles. The mentality needs to be there. You got to have a mentality to go straight ahead because those guys ain't dodging you. And when that changes, you'll see an instant amount of success in other areas of the offense. And I believe that. If they continue to do the same runs that they've been doing the last 2 years and end up in 2nd and 13 and 2nd and 12 and stuff like that, you're going to have some of the same problems you had the year before, the last 2 years. So I'm interested to see how they remedy the situation of, I don't want to call a football player soft, right? So I'm not saying that they're soft, but the mentality in which they call plays.
I'll just confirm Jalen Ramsey not here.
Hmm? Oh, he is not here. That would we are focused on building the Dolphins today, and anything outside of that would any sort of distractions I'm not focused on.
Surprised it's taken this long to find a resolution with
the team. I don't personally, and I would lump you into this with me. I don't give a shit about what I feel. I don't even really go down that road of how do I feel about it. My job is to react and control my controllables. And make sure that people are moving in one direction appropriately. And so the business is business. The opportunity that business does provide in the off season is a rep to the team about handling noise. What do I define noise as? Noise is things that don't have to do with what actually you're there to do and you should be focused on doing because you'll be held accountable to do. So business in the off seasons allows you to speak to your team about how the focus of noise is a constant battle that if you're successful, you have to win.
All right, let me break that down for you. Mike McDaniel is tired of talking about Jalen Ramsey and is not going to focus on that because he's got the team to get ready and he knows Jalen Ramsey's not going to be on the team. No matter what, even if they got to throw in the whole damn guaranteed contract into another team, that he's not going to be here. I think it's pretty clear. Without all that other stuff, I know. Sometimes I wonder, too, as he's saying it. I know we're kind of used to, like, I'm not – this is a standard one that coaches have used with guys that either hold out or aren't happy or you know they're going to be gone. He's not here, so – I'm only going to talk about the players that are here, that want to be here. And then you can add on a little juice like guys that really want to be part of this team. And you go, oh, there's a little shot. But a little different style with Mike McDaniel, who talk about getting these guys together and, you know, and hey, listen, man, all that really matters when we get past all this stuff, and I know I'm guilty because we're sitting here talking about day two of mini camp and what happened in day one and what this roster looks like. And look, at our fan base is pretty knowledgeable, pretty freaking knowledgeable, not only about our team, but about a lot of teams. I get it, man. People in our sport of the NFL, they're pretty good. Husband, wife, kids, it's a knowledgeable thing these days, man, and they know. What it needs and what it doesn't have and what's coming back that they liked and not coming back. And we all have our favorites, but really all that matters, whether you're down on this team or optimistic and feel good about this team because of their draft class or a change with a few bodies or they got bigger, whatever. All that matters is this team, starting with Tua staying healthy for 17 games, because no matter what, if Tua goes out, no matter what, I'm not pooping on any backup quarterback party, the play's just not going to be as good. It's not going to be as good. Not enough time, not enough games to tell me that it's going to be better than a guy that's been in Mike's system since it started here. But that doesn't mean things haven't changed. You still have to find a way to win 10 games. 9-8 winning record. So what? So what? Got to win 10 games. And give them a chance to see. I know some of you think they're going to win 5 or 6 games because I see it. Woody shows it to me. I hear it. A lot of people think we'll be 8-9 or 9-8. You know, probably schedule, whatever you think of the schedule, there's some favorable games in there, and you got to win every one of them. Got to win every one of them, and then we'll get back into late in the season and see how they play, which has been a problem. And by the way, all the narratives that are out there, they're there. They don't change. They're fair. All this is fair because this team's done it to itself, starting at the top. Anyway, we got a lot of new guys are going to go younger. First time we said that in a long time. We are going younger, man. We need to play some guys that didn't play a lot of football last year, maybe through the practice squad, or we're kind of backups, or guys we just drafted. Some of those guys are going to have to play. Some of those guys will have to play. We brought in a lot of veteran free agents that were cheap. $2 million contracts are cheap in free agency. And we've got $2.5 million guys per year, and they're going to get a chance. The safety position is wide open. Cornerback positions, look, minus Cater, Kohu, wherever they decide to play him, the rest of those jobs really kind of open. So, anyway, that's where we stand on all the things, and it will be fun to watch and see how young guys fit in. But, well, I'll tell you what, you're a young guy going out there, man. A whole lot of jobs that look to be somewhat open. You know, less coaches already made up their mind after an OTA or a mini camp. And we need Zach Sealer and Jonnu Smith back. And I am curious to see if they hardline them. I don't think they will. Because if you trade them, there's no way they get rid of Zach Sealer. There is no way. Zach Sealer has got three young guys that they're counting on, not only coach that they have who's really good on the D-line, but they got three young guys everybody's fired up about. I mean, you want to talk about something everybody's fired up about in OTAs and now been out there? I didn't get a chance to get into that with Omar. Three defensive tackles that they drafted. I mean, big, big dudes, first of all. Kenneth Grant and Zach Biggers is in there, Zeke Biggers, and then on top of that, Jordan Phillips. We got another Jordan Phillips. And I think all of them, by the way, huge, huge individuals. All three of them, over 320 pounds. So all obviously really good college football players. Going to get a chance to play a lot. Going to get a chance to play a lot next to with Zach Sealer. Or back him up if they decide to give him a little bit of a rest there.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Crowder, so today was day two of Dolphins minicamp, and I want to play some audio of Tua Tagovailoa from yesterday in the next hour because we're going to talk with Chris Perkins. I want to play the audio of Tua talking about the culture change, and he talks about the importance of him practicing how to fall. We'll get to that, but how about this? Because yesterday when we read the quotes from Tua about the culture change. You're pretty adamant. Like, immediately you said, "Oh, that's just talk," right? Yeah. Like that's just something that you say. And what if I read you this? Does this change your opinion at all? So David Fiorenz, he was tweeting during the Bradley Chubb availability today. He says Bradley Chubb has hinted that although it hasn't been great, it hasn't been directly communicated from Anthony Weaver, the defensive coordinator, that Weaver will try to get him, Jalen Phillips, and Chop Robinson on the field together. Packages are certainly possible. And then he says, for those that say that the culture change stuff is something we've heard before, Bradley Chubb, his response, frankly, in the past, the Dolphins were lying about it. They would say it, but not really act on it. Now, Bradley Chubb says, the actions accompany the words.
It has to show on Sunday, I guess, because I was very dismissive because of the fact that there's nothing that changed. It's the same play. They didn't add, you know, these four or five draft picks. These are puppies. They're not coming and changing cultures. You have the same players, same coaching staff, same head coach, same GM. Like, you didn't adjust enough to change a culture. A culture is made, created. And that's why when they said, oh, it's a culture change, people were saying that when I was playing. Oh, yeah, okay. Like when Bill Parcells came in. Oh, we can see a difference. I guess that's what I'm saying. We can see a difference. But is that a culture change or is that just a change? Because you have to actually do something. You have to actually show it. So when I see the culture change, when I see this not be a team that other teams look at as pleasant, as non-physical, as a speedster team, track meet team, when I go out there and watch a team that's whooping somebody's ass like the Panthers do, I want to see Panthers the Panthers team in Hard Rock Stadium. Then it's a culture change. Then it's a respect. Then it's that thing where now there's really a hierarchy coming down. That's my question. The culture change has to have something to do with the head coach. You can't, what they say, put lipstick on a pig.
Yeah.
That's still a pig with lipstick on it. That's not any difference. You just put some lipstick on that pig. I don't see how McDaniel can be this player friendly. Let the players, you know, what was it? Like, let the players police themselves. And now you're going to put the foot down in a 2-week period in OTAs. I need to see some change out of this team before I'm like, okay, now the culture's changed.
And look, man, this is going to sound funny for me, Crowder, because I'm the first guy, I create the culture soundbite from the Heat, and I buy into all that crap. I do. I genuinely do. I believe that culture matters, and I know it's like the most overused term in sports, and does culture matter as much as we think it matters? Let me give you an example. You're a 1-15 team in 2007 with Cam Cameron as the head coach. I would imagine there wasn't a great culture cultivated by Cam Cameron. You've said it. Like, he was a clown. You guys knew it from day one.
Pudding pop.
If there was a better culture in that locker room, whether or not it came from Cam Cameron or not, would you guys have been a better football team? Like, I'm not saying that it doesn't matter, but my point is, like, I just don't think that team had a lot of talent on it, and it showed. And yes, the coach wasn't a good coach, so that matters too. But like, had he maybe not been the best X's and O's guy, but could foster like the best hardworking culture, would it have been the difference between a 1-15 team and what? A 3-13 team? That's why that. Okay. All right. So
culture
is the difference between 3 wins. Like what do you put it at?
Yeah, I would say between 4-6 wins. It's where you just believe you just have some – you have that – it's like the Heat team that went 31-10, and this was at the James Johnson, Deion Waiters era, like that kind of stuff where now they're 41-41. Not impressive, but they balled. Like, they stuck with it and balled because of the Heat culture. And I do believe in the Heat culture. I give you a hard time. I do believe in Pat Riley, Eric Spoelstra culture. So to answer your question, yes, culture matters. But to go from a Nick Saban 9-17 to get Cam Cameron and go 1-15, then the following year go 11-5, We didn't add a bunch of people. I know Chad Pennington was a quarterback, and we, you know, that 1-15 year, we had some questionable quarterbacks. But that's what it was. It was just like that culture makes you go out every game and know you could win. And almost, I don't say fear, but it's like a pressure. It's like a passionate punctuality to do your damn job. Well, Cam Cameron, you were kind of like, yeah, well, he ain't worried about winning, so we ain't worried about winning. That's what it was with it. So just think about that. I don't even know what we went in 06. Look it up. I was trying to look it up when you were talking. But to go from a 9-win team to a 1-win team back up to 11-win team, you saw the difference in the culture when Bill Parcells got here in 08. Then you saw when Cam Cameron was peddling around, throwing keys and not even cussing. He didn't cuss. I want to hear a cuss word. Cuss me out. If we give up 200 yards rushing, cuss me the hell out. So I go out there and tighten up. Hey, guys, we just got to do better against that run. We have to be a little more stout against that run. We gave up 200 yards, man. Cuss at me.
6-10, by the way, in 2006. You guys went 6-10, worse than 7-9, but a lot better than 1-15.
6-1 the next year to 11 wins when Bill Parcells, Tony Sperano. Now you got me talking about damn Sopranos. Tony Sperano, God rest his soul. I love Tony. And Bill Parcells came in off bat, 9-on-7, team run, ass kicking football. And it showed on the field. Hey, we're going to run that. Hey, we're doing the Wildcat. And I tell about it. We joked about the Wildcat. We were whopping the Wildcat in the face all camp. But it was a physical style of play. So the culture brought the Wildcat, brought Big Vern, Jake Grove. They brought in some big, nasty, don't wash, but once a week type dudes in there. And that was the culture. It's what the Panthers are doing when they're bringing in the Marchant and the Kachucks and just, hey, man, like, yeah, if a fight breaks out, I'm about to punch somebody in the face.
Yeah, but also like
that. I don't know how many guys they're bringing in that would punch. I don't know how many guys the Dolphins are bringing in that'll slap the hell out of somebody. Yeah, and that's what we had in 08.
But also like that roster is just really good too. You know, that's where I think culture can get you places, as evidenced by the Heat, right? As evidenced by, I mean, there's a lot of examples. The Detroit Lions, like maybe they're not the most talented team, but clearly Dan Campbell is just driven it into everybody's dome that like we're better than everybody and they play that way. I don't know, man. I just wonder, it's great that there's a culture change. If it's true, I love that. If it's true, I genuinely love that. But also to hear Bradley Chubb say, yeah, we talked about it for the past couple of years, but we weren't actually being about it. That bothers me too, because hey, your window was the last 2 years. Why wouldn't you guys have been about it? And to a certain extent, even if the culture is the best culture in the NFL, even if Mike McDaniel is able to cultivate that, does that make them contenders? Like, I don't know. Like, what do we do with this now? Like, we're gonna grab on to a culture change. What do we do with that? I don't know.
It's the Dan Quinn is a great example, honestly. What he did with Detroit and the bite the kneecap stuff. We play drops of it. It's just funny. I've been up there. We've interviewed Aaron Glenn when he was there and all. We went to their practices in the last 2 years. We've been to Detroit's camp practices. They bash heads. Dan Quinn with the Commanders.
Yeah.
See how fast he turned that team around? Because Dan Quinn's an old school beat the hell out of you type guy. That's the culture. Not picking up the trash in the locker room. And, you know, like that, people want to talk about all this little ancillary BS. Oh, now we really care about each other. No. The teams that turn it around, how Bill Belichick had New England for years. Studious, do your damn job, and whoop ass. If that's the culture they're talking about, because even this line, we're talking about it. I would want to follow up with Bradley Chubb on what changed in the culture. Like, what changed? Are we now going to practice harder? Are y'all not going to be late to meetings? That report came out last year where a bunch of guys were late and McDaniels was finding them and they didn't care. They just kept getting fined. That's not a culture change. That's called a rule. Rules don't change culture. Culture change culture. And I do believe in culture. Dan Quinn, Campbell, I'm glad you brought him up. And Dan Quinn, I think, is the most recent one where he got to the Commanders. He put that old school whoop ass football in a part of it, got a great quarterback in Jaden Daniels, and turned that entire organization around. They were a game away from the damn Super Bowl because of what he brought there. That's culture. Putting your draws in a bin doesn't change culture. That's not what culture is.
Or because they drafted a really good rookie quarterback also. You know what I mean? Like, it's, look, all I'm saying is this is the biggest topic now out of Dolphins minicamp. They're establishing this. That isn't by accident. Like, Tua says that, then McDaniel has to answer questions about it. He doubles down, and now all the players are going to come out and they're going to talk about this culture change. And my point here is I love that. Genuinely, I love that there's a culture change. I'm not saying it's not important, but they sold us the same bill of goods 2 years ago and last year. It's been the same. This isn't new. Like, the Dolphins aren't doing anything new, but now we're supposed to believe you. This year, we're supposed to believe you. Why?
Tua is just as good. Different playing styles, 100%. He's just as good or better than Jaden Daniels. But the other guys are, say, I see you roll your eyes. Tua Tagovailoa and Jaden Daniels, I think whatever the Dolphins, whatever the Commanders' record was last year, it could have been that with Tua Tagovailoa. But it's 53 guys on a team. We put too much on the court. That's the culture. I brought up Jake Grove and Jake Smiley, and they drafted Jake Long. We had a bunch of damn Jakes. We had Vernon Carey. We had some big, nasty dude doing nasty stuff. Big Ferguson. Jason Ferguson came in that nose. They brought him from Dallas. We had some nasty bastards. That's when they went and got Joey Porter. They went and got guys that fit a new nasty beat-your-ass culture, and the culture was there with the players involved. So the players have to show the culture, and Dan Campbell and Dan Quinn showed you how to do it. That's what I want. Even the, Sean McVay. Sean McVay's different. Sean McVay ain't to beat the hell out of you, you know, run the ball 4,000 or 5,000 times a game, but he's going to have a stout defense with strong trenches. That's what you have to do. It's a culture, and it's players that fit that culture, but it has to be aggressive and nasty. That's what the Patriots did for years, be aggressive and nasty. And then, oh, yeah, we got the best quarterback in the history of the NFL. We're going to go win 6 Super Bowls now. They would have still been winning if Bill Belichick stayed and they did it. I'm telling you, man, culture has to do with personnel and an approach to a game that you need some humans that going to want to go out there and whoop another grown man's ass. I don't know if we have enough of those guys that want to just embarrass another grown man in front of his parents.
I don't want to do the Tua versus Jaden Daniels debate today, Crowder, because, look, man, people are already sick of what I have to say about Tua, and I get it. Like, it's the same thing all the time. I'm not a hater. I'm not a hater, but that one specifically.
Yes, you are a hater.
I'm not a hater. I think Tua is a really, really good quarterback. I genuinely do. I just think in order to win in this league, his shortcomings are what get in the way of the Dolphins being a great team. And I think Jaden Daniels specifically, because you brought him up, he excels in those areas, like being able to get out of the pocket and go give you 25 yards on a rush. And I think a lot of the reason why the Commanders were great last year is not because Jaden Daniels is able to make every throw as a rookie. It's because he was able to make every play as a rookie with his feet. But I don't want to do that today. I genuinely do.
No, I genuinely don't.
We'll revisit it.
Is Matt Stafford and Jared Goff, are they Cam Newton? Are they Lamar Jackson? Matt Stafford, Jared Goff.
Bro, but
Matt Stafford doesn't even try to run.
Right, but Matt Stafford, Crowder, the guy makes every single throw and he can take hits. It's different. I just think it's different.
And Tua can make every throw.
He can.
If he gets hit, his little fingers are gonna curl up on the chest. That's the only difference. Yeah.
I don't want to do this today. I genuinely don't.
I bet.
And I'm not criticizing the Dolphins here. Like, On the contrary, that gets me excited. You want to, for people that think I'm a hater, that gets me excited. Okay, like there's a shift here. That's good. I just don't know why I should believe them. Somebody texts in, Solana, you're so full of bleep. Quote, I don't want to do this, but let me give my hot take first. Yeah, I did. I kind of did go that route. I'm sorry.
You do that all the time.
Yeah, but I mean, I heard Tua is better than Jaden Daniels, or they're the same. Like, I can't let that go, man. Come on.
Tua, the command. I love Jaden Daniels. I think Jaden Daniels is the future, one of them future guys in the NFL. Like, he might be the MVP one day. Tua is right there with Jaden.
Yeah.
This is where we differ. You don't think Tua is one of those top 10 dudes. Tua is a top 10 dude. Jaden's a top 10 dude.
I think he's just outside the top 10. Like, just outside the top 10.
12. Okay, I'll give you that. But you act like he's pudding cake. You act like he's you know, Frosted Flakes.
Tua can
play ball.
Jaden Daniels, as a rookie, went to the NFC title game. Like, what? And bro, did you see him carry that Commanders team?
Yes. Did you see Tua carry the Dolphins?
To what?
With no pass rush?
To what? A 24-7 loss in the first round to the Kansas City Chiefs? The U.S. men's national team.
Tua or Jaden Daniels? That's a...
Bro, that's
when's
that's
Perks coming on. We got to ask Perks.
Yeah, that's an easy one. I'm telling you right now. The U.S. men's national team.
It's just an easy one. Tua's just pie.
Bro.
Tua's pie.
That doesn't mean
compared
he's pie.
Compared to Jaden Daniels, Tua is pie.
It doesn't mean he's easy. Pie. And it doesn't mean he's pie. I'm just saying Jaden Daniels is just – he has the opportunity to be a top five quarterback in the NFL. He's not there yet, Tua, but he has the opportunity.
Tua does too. He has Liam Eikenberg in front of him.
For week one, maybe.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.